Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin. And every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. This episode is the third in a four-part series looking at the ISF's latest report, Threat Horizon 2025, Scenarios for an Uncertain Future. Today, we explore the second known unknown outlined in the report, the future of data. Regulation plays catch-up with value. Steve, this section on data seems really timely. We've often heard data referred to as the new oil, an emergent commodity driving a growing economy, traded around the world, and bringing with it fresh insight, prosperity, and betterment. But the report points out that this analogy has its limits.
Indeed it does, Tavia. Data, unlike oil, is limitless and highly durable. This in turn raises challenges regarding its inherent value, which can be rapidly diluted by issues associated with volume, age, and quality. The global volume of data is continuing to grow, and it's expected to expand from 94 to 181 zettabytes in existence by 2025, so not that far away.
So I had to look this up for listeners because I didn't know what a zettabyte is, but I'll let you know, a zettabyte is one sextillion or 10 to the 21st power bytes. And honestly, I'm not sure that even helps because I'm not sure the human brain can conceive a number that large.
No, it really can't. And this rapid growth can in part be attributed to the phenomenon of datafication, a technological trend that entails capturing aspects of life that could not previously be quantified and converting these into data. Whilst organizations have become used to coping with the steady growth of data, accelerating growth will swell data stores and expand the range of information gathered, presenting new and unknown challenges. Creating and maintaining insight and value from datafication will be imperative. Now, by 2025, an organization's competitive advantage, we believe, will be tied to the effectiveness of its data handling and analysis capabilities.
So in order to survive, organizations will need to hone their ability to protect and to manage the confidentiality and the availability of their data. And they'll also need to develop a stronger understanding of how to maintain data quality.
Yes, but this will be a struggle, given the sheer variety of sources used. The cat and mouse race between regulators and innovators is additionally poised to add some uncertainty, as the former champions ethical practices, strong privacy and effective protection, whilst the latter strive for agile development and expedient growth.
And of course, it's obvious that a data-rich world creates both opportunities and challenges for the economy and for industry and for society. So let's turn our attention to the first scenario that is driven by uncertainty in this category of the future of data. And that's sweating the data assets without a moral compass. In this scenario, weak regulation leads to uninhibited use and abuse of high-value data, letting organizations flout moral and ethical considerations.
Yes, but the opportunities for profit this creates could turn out to come at too high a price. There are a couple of threats we outline under this scenario. So first, the subjects take back control, denting data quality. Data subjects, realizing the value of their personal data and the implications of its loss or abuse, become increasingly inquisitive about its custody and use. Rather than relying on regulators holding organizations to account, data subjects take matters into their own hands. So they purposefully input incorrect and fake data, in some cases removing it altogether, which starts to undermine its inherent value. The data devaluation skews machine learning models. The possibility of brand quality and reputation being harmed by widespread data activist campaigns puts the profitability of data-driven business at risk, as the consumer then becomes the moral arbiter and judge.
And then there's the threat that data skeletons in the closet could cause buyers remorse. Talk about data skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, this is where unusual data processing activities become out-of-sight secrets, particularly, say, in startups with immature corporate governance and rash attitudes to risk. These activities are not easily spotted through the balance sheet and become disguised surprises that are inherited by acquiring organizations. Merger and acquisition deals tainted by questionable past operations could severely devalue those acquisitions. We've seen that in the past, damaging the acquiring organization's reputation, exposing it to potential litigation, and tarnishing relationships both with customers and indeed with governments and regulators. A classic case of buyer's remorse.
So for organizations to prepare for this, ISF recommends that they develop a good understanding of current data processing activities against applicable legal and regulatory frameworks.
That's right. However, where regulation lags behind such activities or doesn't exist at all, for example, with emerging use cases, organizations should establish processes that enable cooperation with their own transparency and ethics teams to create self-governed principles and practices to plug any identified gaps in legislation, articulating their own defendable position. This position should extend to defining internal red lines, which are comprehensively and regularly communicated across the business. Customers and suppliers may be a useful source of insight to help organizations understand what the most acceptable balance is between business innovation and the rights of data subjects when defining business and product strategies.
I know we've talked before about considering security as part of your M&A strategy, and I imagine that's a recommendation in the Threat Horizon report as well.
Definitely. It's important to place a strong onus on understanding underlying internal governance frameworks, values, and ethical stances during due diligence. Also, testing data governance strength, particularly where regulatory guidance on those data processing activities is weak or unclear, is hugely important. And this is particularly relevant if the data and technology assets are the principal motivation for the acquisition itself. And for anyone listening to this who is an ISF member who is particularly interested in that whole M&A process, then Richard Absalom produced last year a particularly insightful paper on security in M&A, which is downloadable for members through ISF Live.
Let's get into some of the nitty-gritty. What are some short-term actions organizations can take to mitigate the threat of this scenario?
Well, first, as we've already mentioned, businesses need to clarify current applicable legal and regulatory requirements for the organization versus current data processing activities. Where compliance gaps exist, build a plan to remediate. Where legislative gaps exist, build a plan to understand these in conjunction with internal or external transparency, legal, and ethics teams. And along with that, they need to implement processes to monitor for changes in legal and regulatory provision and determine the impact of those changes in the context of their business.
That makes a lot of sense. I imagine that leaders also need to work to raise employee awareness of the importance of protecting and respecting data subjects and all data held in relation to them, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And then thinking further down the road as well, organizations should look to extend data governance remits to address identified issues of regulatory misalignment with current or proposed data processing activities, including establishing processes to evaluate moral and ethical implications of such activities against the values of the organization. Where applicable, they should also consider setting up customer and or supplier focus groups to help with understanding the limits of potentially unregulated data processing activities versus customer sentiment.
I find it so interesting that again and again, we're revisiting the virtues of morals, ethics, integrity, honesty, trust as a way to mitigate the threats of technology. I find something very hopeful in that and very positive. So that's a little bit of the release of the doom and gloom aspect, that the human good has a place and a bigger role than ever in a healthy business setting.
Well, I think that, you know, what is interesting about that, Tavia, is that very many people perhaps wrongly view this as being a sort of relatively mature industry because it's been around for a little while. But as we continue to explore all of these emerging threats and the way in which technology is being used, artificial intelligence in particular, you really do begin to understand that this is a nascent technology and it's so fast moving, it's so fast changing that you have to continually revisit some of those basic principles that you've just mentioned to make sure that you're still heading along the right lines. And unfortunately, regulation is never going to be able to keep up with that. So we have to And this is why we mentioned so much in the report, this, you know, putting in place processes to take into account areas that are not currently regulated. You know, you have to anticipate very much more, perhaps, the way that markets will develop, technology might develop, but most importantly, the sentiment and the views of people both inside the organization and that you're targeting from a customer standpoint.
So when it comes to M&A, the report recommends that companies impose mandatory evaluations of compliance with data processing laws and regulations in organizations under consideration for acquisition, particularly if the prime motive of the acquisition is to acquire IP. So that brings us to the second scenario under the future of data, the rebellious data curator. Is
yeah.
there like a uniform that goes along with that, rebellious data curator?
Yeah, governments and regulators collaborate to create firm frameworks that regulate the use of data, which are regularly updated as technology evolves. And this infuriates fast-paced, innovative organizations that want to stay ahead of their competitors. These organizations are not afraid to take risks, bending or even breaking the rules.
So the report specifies two threats that could arise from that. The threat of global data regulations emerging, raising the stakes for non-compliance. Let's start with that one. How is that a threat?
Well, increased collaboration on global data regulation strengthens the resolve to protect the rights and freedoms of data subjects with much tougher sanctions in force for non-compliance. Rapid tightening of national and international rules isolates those regions not participating in this new world order, many of which are incubating cutting-edge data science innovators. This catches out, or potentially catches out, organizations who are leveraging these technologies and exporting data to their shores, leading to many receiving hefty fines.
And then shadow data emerging as the new organizational smoking gun. Shadow data, again, sounds like a sci-fi novel.
Well, this may be more dangerous but less exciting than Jason Bourne. Organizations already grappling with gaining oversight of a sprawling real and virtual IT infrastructure face a new nemesis. The ease with which data can be moved, repurposed, and utilized by the business through cloud-based data processing services has paved the way for a new form of shadow IT, which security teams struggle to oversee with traditional on-premise tools. Largely unaware of the legal and regulatory implications of using such services, the business creates silo after silo of data with poor ownership and little or no change control. It's then only a matter of time before one of these ticking time bombs goes off, causing regulatory reprimands and reputational damage.
So companies have to defend themselves from those other companies. How can they prepare to fight that threat?
Seeking to gain competitive advantage by circumventing regulations may seem appealing to organizations with a high risk appetite, particularly with perceived high data value leading to high levels of return. Those with weaker security cultures, poor governance, or operating in a fragmented way are at particular risk of falling foul of this scenario.
I find this so egregious. In a global economy that places the privacy and protection of data subjects front and center, I can't imagine that sort of behavior just being overlooked.
Well, that's exactly right. Organizations will suffer the consequences of such misdemeanors, facing punishment by regulators and customers alike, and pleading ignorance will not appease anybody. Hmm. Boards and businesses must set clear rules on what is and is not acceptable, keep on top of changes, and ensure strength in governance and compliance to ensure data in custody and data processing boundaries are respected and maintained.
Okay, so moving on to some practical steps organizations can take today, it seems like a good place to start is to review current organizational policies on data governance and reassert their existence and their importance right across the business.
Definitely. And then they can reappraise current data processing activities versus what is expected. This is best achieved through a divide and conquer approach, so using local knowledge, perhaps from security champions, to collect information at source before sending for centralized collation.
I think security champions surely have a uniform that they wear. The next step here is one of my favorites. They can also encourage amnesties for business units that may either be in contravention of policy or operating in formal activities and looking to formalize or to cease as appropriate. So give people a chance to make a change without penalty. Is that right?
Yeah, and that hopefully encourages buy-in, right? Because they see a chance to get on board. And finally, organizations need to evaluate supply chain activities involving data processing and ensure these are operating too within regulatory and policy parameters. Immediate areas of concern should be mitigated as soon as possible.
It always seems to come back to supply chain on this podcast, your very favorite subject ever. So what should organizations be looking to do down the road?
Well, we recommend that they nurture security and data governance to ensure complete and ongoing visibility of current and proposed legal and regulatory frameworks, reviewing their applicability to organizational tactical and strategic business objectives. They have to adapt policies, procedures, and compliance activities to ensure complete alignment. They also need to update supply chain assurance activities to identify existing and proposed suppliers whose technologies, customs, and practice may fall outside accepted policy, legal, and regulatory boundaries for the organization, heightening risk exposure. Then they need to define escalation and triage processes to evaluate the risk, cost, and benefits of maintaining, changing, or pausing such supplier relationships.
Okay, so then the third scenario we're looking at in this episode makes me giggle. It's the desperate data fisherman. So this cannot be a lonely guy looking for a date. I have a feeling that's not something that you would include in the Threat Horizon report.
No, that's a very different podcast. Here, what we're looking at is oceans of diluted data leave organizations stranded, desperate to justify the gargantuan effort required to try and exploit the potential value held within that data, or suffer the consequences of not trying hard enough. A lack of interest from data subjects and governments hampers evolution of the legal and regulatory landscape, leaving data processors and controllers to determine their own paths of innovation and righteousness.
So in this scenario, we're looking at the threat of broken promises and weak regulation driving down security investment. Feeling cheated by poor returns in investment and data strategies, and with the wrath of the regulator seemingly withering, organizations reduce their security investments as the value at risk perceptively reduces. But that perception does not meet reality. Ransomware and denial of service attacks have debilitating impacts regardless of data value. And with every reduction in security investment, the likelihood of a disruption event largely increases.
And then the next threat is that democratization of data governance is perceived as a dereliction of duty. Placing oversight of data management activities into the hands of organizations and consumers can enable accessibility and aid enrichment, especially if existing legal and regulatory guidance is weak, for example, when innovating new AI techniques. However, should the outcome not be as expected, this empowerment will quickly be forgotten, causing those consumers to turn against the organization, damaging their reputation, and leaving them open to localized and, at worst, class action.
And then finally, poor quality data leads to equally poor outcomes. Tell me more about that one.
Well, keen to monetize the vast expanses of data available to them, organizations accept a reduction in quality for returns that can be gained with as little effort as possible, or simply possess a misguided trust that the data is of good quality. However, this can backfire if poor quality input amplifies poor quality output, for example, in training machine learning and AI models. This is exacerbated if that output further pollutes the data repositories used for future input, degrading data quality and integrity, which can in turn result in poorer customer experiences, allegations of bias, for example, in AI models, poorer business and financial performance, and subsequent reputational impacts.
It's a lot to think about. So let's talk about preparation.
Well, an uncontrolled saturation of unstructured data presents multiple challenges. Poor control and curation of data quality and its inflow into the organization risks turning data lakes into swamps, making value extraction challenging and a risk-based approach to securing that data practically impossible. If organizations continue to collate data regardless of value as a business strategy, filters and checks to preserve data quality, authenticity, and integrity must be put in place. Democratization of data governance, now whilst innovative and transparent, does not abdicate the business from its data controller accountabilities, however weak the underlying regulatory landscape may be. Understanding the advantages and the disadvantages of such an approach needs to precede any moves in this direction. And the ongoing efficacy of such an approach must be overseen by the business on a regular basis so that any problems are spotted and addressed quickly. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how low regulatory oversight appears and how questionable data value may seem, it's naive for a business to translate that into decreased investment in information security. It's incumbent on security teams to plot a righteous path for the organization, to maintain operational resiliency, and there exists a simple justification for their existence. The reality is that, valuable or not, most modern organizations will struggle to prosper if they repeatedly suffer even the most basic availability impacting security issues.
Hmm.
And this message must be regularly conveyed to decision makers.
Hmm. So in the short term, the report recommends that organizations revisit their security value proposition to ensure that it underpins desired business outcomes. They need to socialize this with decision makers and key business stakeholders. And then they need to perform an evaluation of processes that create and ingest unstructured data into the business, with particular attention to quality and integrity checking controls and retention tariffs.
Yes. And then in the long term, organizations can further develop and hone techniques for maintaining data quality and integrity. Evaluations of perceived data value should be considered separately and in the broader business strategic context. Where appropriate, they should also conduct a feasibility study into democratizing data governance to address shortfalls in regulatory or legal guidance for certain proposed data activities. This should include clarification of corporate red lines, such as data crown jewels or specific ventures considered to be out of scope. And then finally, they'll want to establish a regular cadence of engagement with business stakeholders, further promoting the values, mission, and purpose of the information security function and promoting shift-left thinking.
Hmm. And that brings us to our final scenario under the future of data. This might be my favorite. The sleepwalking data hoarder. It really evokes an image, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And this is a scenario where low storage costs make it trivial and cheap to hoard data, regardless of known value. When combined with confusion over who monitors changes in legal and regulatory requirements, compliance misfires occur in organizations that naively think they continue to tick all the right regulatory boxes.
The report talks about a couple of threats that emerge in this scenario. And first, regulatory changes blindside the disorganized organization. Organizations that don't set out clear roles and responsibilities for continuous monitoring and assessment of the regulatory landscape find themselves exposed when changes that affect them are not detected and acted upon in a timely manner, particularly in a world where regulators are not afraid to demonstrate their strength. And that increases dramatically the risk of regulatory fines.
Yeah, and the other threat the report discusses here is that low-cost storage encourages data hoarding, but with a hidden price tag. The continued low cost of storage encourages data hoarding and discourages data truncation. This gives rise to hidden costs and risks that, whilst perhaps not immediately apparent, are realized over time, including security and backup overheads.
Mm.
The potential regulatory and security implications of hoarding increasing volumes of data are raised. If the data is being passively collected, badly monitored, it will become an attractive target for malicious actors.
So how should an organization prepare so that it doesn't fall into this trap? Because it sounds like exploiting that low-cost storage and becoming a data hoarder without control can rapidly take an organization to the point of no return.
Exactly. The cost of retrospective attempts to govern and regulate large amounts of data at rest may eclipse any opportunity to extract value from it. Similarly, should storage costs spiral very quickly, this presents a self-inflicted cost-benefit challenge that is hard to explain to business leaders. These circumstances need to be clearly communicated to the business to ensure an informed decision on whether to continue can be made.
Hmm.
Against the backdrop of a strong regulatory landscape, the stakes can increase further. Keeping up to speed with the current regulatory climate, and particularly in the context of the organization, is a critical task for all organizations. Asserting compliance should be a continuous business activity rather than a point-in-time exercise, particularly where data is accruing without strength of oversight.
So organizations need to ensure that legal and regulatory requirements relating to current data gathering and processing activities are absolutely aligned.
Yes. And they should also evaluate current data storage utilization, including volumes, run rate, and projected growth, and report that back to management. It helps to identify opportunities for rationalization or truncation and affirm that the business wishes to continue with the status quo. Longer term, they should be looking to review organizational data strategy and establish a process for regularly reviewing this strategy against storage utilization, cost, and growth rates. They should also continue to engage with business stakeholders and ensure they have an appreciation of the total and hidden costs of data hoarding. And finally, we recommend that they establish processes for continual horizon scanning of legal and regulatory frameworks for areas in scope of the organization. They'll want to strike up proactive relationships with regulators to further optimize these processes.
So as before, in our previous episode, this episode leaves us with a lot to digest and a lot to do. But as always, I appreciate that we're not just leaving organizations to worry and perseverate about the threats, but we are offering them potential solutions. So thank you so much for being here with us today, Steve. Listeners, you can find the Threat Horizon Report 2025, Scenarios for an Uncertain Future, at securityforum.org. And you can go back to Threat Horizon Reports from previous episodes of our podcast. You'll find those in our feed, and we'll link them in the show notes. Next week, Steve and I take a closer look at the third scenario in the report, focusing on the future of international relations. We'll be back with a new episode next week. In the meantime, if you would take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening, give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review, we'd be grateful. You can also listen to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen, and of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org. which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Kayla Elrod, music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.